So in the sermon today, we're going to look at Luke chapter 24, the story of those two blokes, two friends of Jesus, walking to a place called Emmaus. And I want to ask the question, what do you do when you can't see God or when you can't recognize God? That's the question that I'm going to ask as we go along. What do you do when you can't see God? But first, a bit of fun. Sometimes people avoid talking to me in public places, and it's okay if you've done it, because if I saw me in public, I wouldn't want to talk to me either. But sometimes I'm in a shop, I'm down at Sun Plaza, and I'll see someone from the Emmanuel community, and I'm never quite sure whether they didn't see me or whether they didn't want to see me. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. By the way, if you do see me in public and you think, oh, no, not the God botherer today, just can't do it, just need to get some milk and get out of IGA quick, I'm fine with that. That's okay. But what I want to ask you is, what are some good ways to avoid being recognised? Let's have a bit of fun with this. Like, if you don't want to be recognised, what do you do? How do you do it? And by the way, I've gone into Kmart wearing my sunnies the whole time, just because I was like, I just want to get in and out, and then people see me everywhere. So anyway, so just don't feel bad about this, okay? What are some good ways to avoid being recognised? Just chuck them at me. Stay at home. It works for you, Fred. That's great. What was that? Nothing. Don't wear the sunglasses, okay? Cover yourself with a blanket and crawl like a snail. That works. What else? Another way to... Look down at your phone. Classic. I'm really busy right now. I've just got a text. Turn your back. It's possible. What else have we got? Any? Change your hair colour and duck into the change rooms. Change your hair colour in the change rooms. Great. So, in today's Bible account, we have a mystery. It's a mystery. No one knows the answer, so it's okay not to know, and it's okay to have different views on this, because the Bible doesn't say. It says that two men, two of the disciples, not the 12, but two of the broader group of disciples, were walking to Emmaus on the day that Jesus rose, and it says, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Hear those words, he drew near, he came near and he went with them. There's something deep and profound in that. It's like they didn't know he was there, but he drew near. That's a comment for your life. And he went with them. They didn't know that Jesus was with them, but he did. He was with them. And then it says, but their eyes were kept from knowing him. That's what it says in my traditional translation. Some say their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And some, we heard no offense, Steve, but that wasn't actually a translation of the Bible that you read. That was a paraphrase, because the Bible doesn't say that God kept their eyes from seeing. It just says this mysterious thing, which you can interpret. You can interpret in a lot of ways. It just says, in the original language, their eyes were held back. Literally, their eyes were held from seeing him. Doesn't say who held them back or what held them back. The Ethiopian version says their eyes were covered from seeing him. The Arabic says their eyes were veiled from seeing him. I was looking this up in different versions, and I looked it up in the King James Bible from 1611. How old is that now? Do the math. Yeah, well done. I looked it up in the King James, and I discovered evidence of my favourite car in the Bible once again. I did. It actually says in the King James, but their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. Right there, see? And by the way, in the King James Version from 400 years ago, the word holden occurs 14 times. The word Ford occurs one time in the entire... I looked it up. It's amazing what you can do with Bible software these days, isn't it? Now, this is actually a very good translation, even though it's like almost Shakespeare. It's actually really good. Their eyes were holden is actually almost exactly what it says in the old language, that they were held. Their eyes were literally held from recognizing, from seeing him. It doesn't say who, it doesn't say what, but what's clear is that something prevented them. The language here is what they call a passive. So it means they didn't do something themselves. They didn't literally do this. They didn't do something actively, but something was done to them. And some Bible interpreters, as soon as they see a passive verb, say that's what they call the divine passive. That's obviously God. But it doesn't actually say that. Could be that. So my question for you is, what kept them? What kept them from recognizing Jesus? Would you like to venture? Now, look, the Bible doesn't say, so it's okay. It's a mystery. And we'll find out one day in heaven, but we don't know for now. So we can have all sorts of wacky opinions, and we can't criticize each other for them. We can discuss them, but the Bible doesn't say. So, well, Chris, their grief, blinded by grief, some of the accounts of the resurrection seem to make that approach, they seem to suggest that their grief didn't. And so does Luke 24 here. What else have we got? Memory loss. Oh, yeah, beyond a certain age, that's inevitable. Blank in the head, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, grief can make you blank in the head, yeah. They had a long one. They dismissed it because it was just outside their expectation. Yep. Stubbornness, and Jesus actually called them kind of something like stubborn in this story. He actually tells them off at one point. What else? Any other theories? You only see what you want to see, which is actually called confirmation bias. It's a phenomenon studied by psychologists. It's real. Confirmation bias is a real bias that our brains have. We take shortcuts and we tend to only believe and see the things that fit our current thought. Yeah, so it could have been that. I reckon it was quite likely confirmation bias is a big part of it. Anything else? PTSD, says somebody. Right. Mark kind of suggests that there was something different about Jesus, that people at first went, well, yeah, so maybe there's something there about his changed form. And any others? Can I get one? They were distracted. Actually, Luke kind of hints that they may not have even been looking straight at him. Distracted by other things. Great. Yeah, Luke kind of hints at one point in this story that they were looking down or around and not at. So we don't know. But perhaps this was Jesus' plan. Perhaps our risen Lord didn't want to be recognized at first. Perhaps it was part of his plan and approach to them. How does that sit with you? What would that say if God at times stopped us recognizing him? Oh, that's a bit radical, isn't it? Well, the big question that this put in my head is, why do human beings act like those disciples in general? It says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. In other words, just look up the stars and you can see. And Romans says God's invisible qualities and powers are clearly visible. It also says that we obviously don't see God, but there's enough evidence around us that we can see the wonder, the power, the majesty of the universe, and we can get some sort of an idea. Is that fair to say? We can get some sort of idea of something bigger, something Doug would call numinous. But why then are we, human race, like those disciples? We're walking right beside God. He's around us and within us and above us and below us and sustains us, and yet we don't recognize God. In fact, Martin Luther, he says that this is the normal way that human beings are. He calls the human experience of God Deus absconditus. Have you heard that? Absconditus. It's not making scones. It's that human beings most often experience as if God is missing. They often experience that, says Luther. So, would you like to tell somebody nearby, just for a moment, why do you feel that the human race doesn't see? I mean, God is invisible. We get that. Yeah. But why don't human beings in general recognize God? Over to you. Just tell somebody nearby, and I might ask in a minute, what do you think? Or just think it through if you'd prefer. You don't have to talk to someone. That's okay. That's really good. I've heard some beautiful answers up the front. I'm not going to go through this with you. I'd love to just open this up to the whole group. But I think that the answers that Christians give fall into three main categories to this question. The answers, the approaches of the Christian movement include three things that the Bible does say. And the first one is, we don't recognise God because our hearts are hardened by sin. Ever since Eden, we made a choice to be our own gods. And, you know, people don't like the word sin. They think that we shouldn't talk about sin. But sin is basically and simply being curved in on myself. Sin is being all about me. Not about us or we or them, but about me. That's what sin is. And, and by that measure, I have a bit of sin. And that sin means that because I'm about me and I'm not always about the other, I don't necessarily perceive and see God very well because, quite frankly, I don't understand all of you very well either because I'm about me sometimes, often. Sin is a real thing. It is to live for yourself and all the actions that flow from that. It's as simple as that. And if you're that way, then it's probably best that you don't see God anyway because it would hurt too much. Is that fair to say? My mate Luther, I don't quote him very often, but today you're just going to get a fair bit of Luther. He says, God does not withdraw himself from us. God didn't do it. But the world, the flesh, and the devil weaken us and thus prevent us from seeing God. Maybe that's what's going on to these disciples when they see Jesus. The second answer that people often give to why we don't see God is that our minds are blinded by pride. We talked about confirmation bias before. We like to believe what we already believe, and we like to only focus on the things that prove what we already believe. Are we getting more closed or more open in our minds? Because often I think I've experienced a miracle and then I start to question it and skeptical it all out because my pride wants to understand everything in the world. Have you had that happen? Pride is when I think that I know all the answers and I know how the world works. And that blinds our minds because we're not open to something new and something different that breaks our preconceptions. And I love this. Look, you're getting revelation today. Revelation 3. Jesus says, you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Why don't we recognize God? Well, generally, the Christian answers fall into the idea that it's our own fault, either because of sin or pride. But there's a third answer. And the third answer is not us, but God. And many Christians have taught, and the Bible seems to hint, that sometimes God hides himself from his saints. Mother Teresa, I think we would all agree, a saint, recorded times in her personal journal when she felt that God was hidden from her. Terrible times of feeling lonely and bleak. And it says in Isaiah 45, truly you are a God who hides yourself, O God of Israel, the Saviour. Sometimes, for those who trust Jesus and who are faithfully attempting to follow God, we will experience a time when, for some reason, he hides something or himself from us that we might grow. It appears that in Luke 24, Jesus, for a time, allows himself to be hidden so these disciples can hear. How does that sit with you, people? You don't have to agree with that if you don't want. Have you experienced that? What do you do when you get there? I would say to you, if you find yourself in that place, when you walk in the dark, remember what you learned in the light. And you will walk in the dark sometimes. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, do not fear, for God is with you. His rod and staff, you know Psalm 23? That's next week, by the way. All come for Psalm 23 next week. When you walk in the dark, remember what you learned in the light. Remember what you saw in the light. Remember what you received. Remember the gift of God. Remember the experiences that you have had and how he's carried you and the miracles that you have seen when you get to that place. That seems to be what the disciples are doing here. So, I've had a really good 2 weeks since Easter, except for one thing. My heart, it hasn't been in a good place. I had seven, count them, seven worship events over the Easter week, including worship at Butterham Views and nursing home, all over the place. And by Easter Monday, I was just stuffed, emotionally, physically stuffed. And that's okay, don't worry, I'm fine. But I got really grumpy with God after Easter, because I said, I thought that I did a pretty good job there, hey? So you should be now like rewarding me with a warm feel of your Holy Spirit's presence washing over me, and maybe some a vision or just a message of your love and thanks. And instead I got nothing, probably because I expected, you know. And he's like, So for 2 weeks after Easter, I just experienced this time where I was like, God, I'm talking to you, but you're not talking back. Well, stuff you. If you're not talking back, I'm not going to talk to you. Ever done that with God? Bad, bad approach. Yeah, you know people in relationships who get into an argument with each other and they stop talking? Well, I felt like God had done that to me, so I thought, well, I might try that on you. And then you kind of keep picking back to see whether he's going to... Kids do that. It's pretty childish, isn't it? So I had this argument with God, and he said, fine, you're not going to hear from me for a bit. And it really was horrible. Some people have this for years and years and years. And if you do, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have forsaken God. He might be trying to teach you something. Anyway, I got to this week, I looked at Luke chapter 24, the walk to Emmaus, and I went, oh, do I have to preach this again, God? This is my 20th year as a pastor, and this comes up every year after Easter. God, what can I possibly learn from the 20th time? He was very, very upset with me, I'm sure. But I spoke to him this way, and I'm not telling you to do this. This is wrong. So I said, God, I think I'll just make up. I'll just find another Bible passage. And I kept coming back and thinking, no, it's what's set for this third Sunday of Easter. So I opened it up, and I read it, whilst not hearing a thing from God and being grumpy about that. And it said, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from knowing him. And I went, oh. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Oh. But their eyes were kept from knowing him. Oh, I get it. And I felt God say, you didn't recognize me, but I drew near and I walked with you and I am. Oh, you don't have to always recognize me for me to be there, do you? No, God, I suppose I don't. Well, then why would you foolish, stubborn idiot, think that how you feel is how I feel? Or what you think is what I think? And I went, oh, I get it now. You're with me even when I go through one of these grumpy periods and I don't hear you. You're with me because sometimes our eyes are kept from knowing him. So what do you do when that happens? There's so much in Luke 24. I realise that, you know, 20 years of preaching this text, we should have it every Sunday for the next month, and I'll point out something new and profound and amazing that's in there, and so will you, because there's lots in there. That's how the Word of God works. So what do? When you get to that point when you're just blank and you can't hear God? Well, there's lots and lots and lots of things that we could discuss. But I just want to point out three things in this Bible passage, in this Emmaus walk that Jesus did. Three things to do when you can't see God. The first one is journey together. Jesus has died. These people's lives are destroyed. They're doubting everything they ever heard from Jesus, and they journey together. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. There's a hint there. When two or three gather in the name of Jesus, there he is. So the first hint in this story is when you can't see God and when you're struggling like that, journey together with someone. That's why I really love the idea of groups, of Bible groups, of prayer groups, of life groups, because you journey together with somebody. And they help you see God when you can't, and they carry you. And the word that's used in this Bible passage is beautiful. What they did, it's actually the word homileo, from which we get the modern English homily. A homily is what I'm supposed to be doing now, I think. It's a sermon. And it says they did homily together. They did homileo. They conversed specifically about God. And then Jesus was there. Have you ever experienced that? Because I have, profoundly. Too often we think that my faith is just between me and God. Well, actually, it's not. How you treat people is how you treat God. How you relate to people is how you relate to God. So my first hint for you is, if you can't see God, please journey together with us. Join us. Call us. We'll help. The second thing in this story I noticed is that they heard scripture. Got to read the words of Jesus. Steve read them really well before. Got to read this thing he says. He tells them off. He says, "Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Ouch. "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. If you can't hear God, I'll tell you a place where you can definitely hear God. His word. The Bible. And if you cut yourself off from that, well, no wonder you can't hear God. Because it's one of his primary means. Please don't just grab a Bible and stab randomly and just open up to any page. That can work, but it can also fail pretty badly. Open up, I would suggest to you, if you don't know where to start, just open up the book of Psalms at the start. Or open up Matthew, because it's a good word, it's a good name. It'll do. Open up the Gospels or the Psalms and just sit with a little bit of scripture and see what happens for you. Now, the final thing is not what I expected to see. When I can't hear or see God, what shall I do? Well, notice what happens in this story. Can you see the common words? At the start of the story, it says, their eyes were kept from knowing him. Knowing is an important word. It's often translated recognize, but it's the word know. And then at the end, it says, their eyes were opened and they knew him. See the common words? So what happened here? He was with them. They journeyed together. They looked at the prophecies about Christ, the word of God, together. And at that point, they still didn't know who he was when he was talking to them about himself. What was it that was the last straw that finally changed everything and their eyes were opened? What's with that verse? Do you know? That's right. The breaking of bread. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. Everywhere you go, across the world, across all history, wherever you go, Christians do this thing with bread and wine. They break bread. And I believe it's a miraculous thing. I believe that God does miracles. I believe that God does miracles in this bread and wine time too, and that Jesus Christ is truly present when we break bread. One of our people, I talked to him at early service, has this beautiful thing. He gets the bread. When he receives it, he breaks it, and then he puts it in his mouth. Just because he wants to reflect the word of God. I think it's nice. But here's what I want to say to you. If you can't see God, you can taste God. You can feel the very presence of God. Jesus Christ with you today. And come to that. And bring to that whatever it is that's troubling you. Because it's a place of healing too. So we're going to finish now. Just three hints from this story. There are many more things that could be said. But when you can't see God, journey together, hear scripture, and don't neglect the breaking of bread. I'm going to finish now with a word just for your heart. You might like to close your eyes and just hear this spoken personally for you. I say to you, in the name of Jesus, even if you can't recognize God, God recognizes you. Even if you feel at times that you don't know God so well, God knows you so well. Better than you know yourself, and God loves you. God died for you, and God rose for you, and God is with you. Whether you recognize that or not, Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.